Yo, what's good, bro?
I'm about to say, all right, so basically, we're going to recap the NBA this past weekend. And we're going to talk about, then we're going to get into the NFL game that happened this week.
All right, bet.
I said, all right, welcome back, everybody, to Sports Guru. I'm your host, Tyler Brown, and we do have a new guest. Introduce yourself.
My name is Khalil, part of the Sports Mindset. Find me there if you want.
I'm going to say, check out his podcast. He has his own show, but we're about to get straight into it. So, as you guys know, I am a Lakers fan, and we did get two wins this past weekend against the Cavs, and we just beat, the Rockets. And honestly, I can say Melo has been saving us so far this past few wins because he's been shooting the lights out. Like, every time he shoots the ball, it's going in. He's shooting the three at a high clip. He's shooting with a lot of efficiency. And look, I know it's a new team, and I think, you know, all these stars, you're supposed to just make it work, make it happen, but it's going to take time. Still got to figure out what's going to work and not work. But I believe they're going to figure it out, and they're going to be a team to beat in the West, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be fine. It takes time to gel. I mean, you have players pretty much that need time to gel, especially, I mean, give an example, Russell Westbrook. That's a guy who really his second half play really is a lot better than the first half play. And same thing with LeBron. I mean, once he gets comfortable and hit his system, that's when he is at his best, especially during playoff time. And as long as Anthony Davis is healthy, I think this team could be really good, especially in a Western Conference. And my opinion really isn't as stacked this year. I mean, there's a lot of good teams that are playoff teams, but not a lot of real contenders. I mean, you have the Warriors and – I mean, do we really call the Jazz a contender?
I mean, the Jazz, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of playoff teams here, but not a lot of contenders. So, I think it'll take time for the Lakers to gel, but once playoff time comes, I think they'll be fine.
I'm going to say, yeah, I think, you know, Russ just has to settle down and make better decisions because he's turned the ball over way too much. And, yeah, it's like you said, Anthony Davis' health do play a key, and LeBron was just coming back off injury, so he hasn't really been shooting well, but I know he'll figure it out. He'll get locked in. So, like I said, if any person can make this team work and find that chemistry right, it's LeBron James because he makes everybody around him better. So, they'll figure it out. I'm not, you know, it's still early. It's only been 7 games, and they play tonight, honestly, against the Rockets again, so I feel like we should win that game. Yeah, just give them time. There's no need to panic. I mean, they do need to step up their defense. Their defense is kind of horrible. But like I said, Frank Vogel will get them right. You know, they'll be in the Western Conference Finals come May, whenever that time is. So,
yeah, I mean, they got a 4-game stretch of the Rockets, Thunder, Trailblazers, and Hornets. I think the only challenge really here is going to be the Hornets. But, I mean, they lost to the Thunder last time. I think they'll regroup and be able to get these two wins. I mean, they just faced the Rockets and they faced the Thunder on Wednesday.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, so I think they'll be able to, you know,
get the win there. I was very disappointed about that Thunder's game. Like, I was, oh my gosh, I was like, how do you even blow a 26-point lead? Like, you just, like no lead is safe. Like, we get a big lead, you just gotta, if you got the team blowing out, you gotta keep putting your foot on the pedal and just not let up.
Yeah, you can't stop. I mean, this team has a lot of depth, and really, I've been really disappointed in the depth because, like you said, it's really just been the Melo show off the – I mean, he starts, but there's not really much coming off. I mean, he came off the bench against the Thunder last week. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, the only people that played in that game was Austin Reeves, Avery Bradley, Rondo, Howard. And these guys were getting minutes and not doing anything with those minutes, so –
I mean, we still missing some pieces, so everybody's not there yet. So we still missing some guys. So once we get some pieces back and fully healthy, I think that team will start to get the depth will definitely get a lot better. We still missing Taylor Horton, still missing Nunn, Ellington, and you know, Reza had his surgery. So once we get everybody fully healthy, I think this will be a whole different team. So
yeah, I can agree with that.
Just got to give it some time. But you know, I know you're a Bulls fan, so you want to talk about your Bulls?
Oh yeah, we're the best team in the East right now. And that's just a fact. That's not a statement saying, oh yeah, we're the team to beat. I mean, I'm gonna be honest here, and I hate saying this because I do not like Miami, but I honestly think Miami's really the team to beat. They're just so good defensively, man. That like, I think we are just getting our chemistry together, and that's a blessing because usually, I mean, you see with the Lakers, a new team really takes time to gel.
Right.
But our team, I mean, DeRozan is playing probably his best basketball I've seen him play since Toronto was the number one seed a few years ago. Zach LaVine is showing that he doesn't need a hot start to really win you games. I mean, we had a big win against the Celtics yesterday after being down almost by 17.
Right, I've seen that.
And then coming back and winning that game when Zach LaVine had 0 points in almost the first half. And now he finished off with – let me check real quick just to make sure – 26, 7 assists. I mean, we're playing as a unit, and I love to see it. And even with Patrick Williams at the lineup, I think Javonte Green is going to fill that role. And I think eventually we're going to trade Kobe White for some pieces, especially at the forward position because I think that's what we're lacking. But like I said, I'm really proud of this team. And I still do think Miami's probably the best team in the conference. Just because, again, depth, they have shooting, depth, defense. They have everything that you need for a team. So I still think they're the team to beat. But, hey, don't sleep on the Bulls.
I mean, going into this year, you know, when all the trades happened, I seen the move the Bulls were making. I said, the Bulls are going to be a tough team to beat. I said, I said before the season started, I said, the Bulls are going to be in the playoffs. Like, once I saw y'all had DeRozan and y'all had Lonzo, y'all took Caruso from us. I'm like, this team is going to be all right. Like, they're going to be, you know, a tough team to beat. They're going to, you know, figure it out. I didn't think I would be gelling right now is that they are, you know, 6-1. I mean, it's still early in the year, you know, so I guess I want to say, I mean, yeah, not time to panic yet, but, you know, the Nets aren't playing as well as we expected because, you know, the whole Kyrie situation. The Bucks are under 500 right now, but, you know, they'll definitely step it up and get it together. Yeah, Miami is definitely I know Miami is going to be good, too. Once they added Kyle Lowry, I know that's going to be a tough team, and Jimmy is playing out his mind right now. And I was like, the East, they did get a little better. You know, the Hawks going to be in the playoffs. Who else going to be in the playoffs? Philly's going to be in the playoffs.
Do you think Philly's actually going to make the playoffs?
Yeah. Honestly, even without Ben Simmons, they still have guys that can still play, and they still have the talent to make the playoffs. Yeah, they'll definitely be in the playoffs.
I'm really surprised they got on a 3-game win streak because
they're one of the better teams in the East. So I don't see them. I don't see why they shouldn't make the playoffs. The Knicks will be back in the playoffs. So I said, you know, looking at both conferences, I said the East was always the weaker conference. But I'm saying this year the East has definitely gotten a little better, and they added more players that can play in the East. So I was like, it's gonna be some, you know, the East is gonna be, I think, a little tougher. Playoffs gonna be a little tougher to come out in the East.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, you got the Wizards, who started out 5-2, who actually been playing pretty good basketball.
They surprised me as well without 5-2 at the trade in Russell.
Yeah, and then Toronto. I mean, I really liked Gary Trent on this team and Fred VanVleet. I mean, these guys really are playing hard, winning basketball. I mean, Scotty Barnes too. I mean, he's a dog and an OG. I mean, he's destined to maybe win Most Improved Player of the Year this year. So he's a candidate. I mean, the Hornets, LaMelo, obviously, and then you got Brooklyn, Atlanta, Milwaukee. Cleveland's not even playing that bad. Do I think they'll make the playoffs? Probably not. But I don't think they're playing bad basketball. You got Boston here, who I really did not think would make the playoffs, and now they're at 2-5. But again, you have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. It's going to be hard not to make the playoffs. And, I mean, the rest of these teams, the Magic, Pacers, Pistons, they're not making the playoffs. And I think that's for sure, but Sixers, I mean, the Knicks, I think the Knicks are really, really good. Like, they have way too much depth, and they have heart. I think that's a huge thing in basketball. If you have heart to win and you're hungry, then you got a chance to really be a contender.
I might say, look, the Knicks is going to go as far as Julius Randle goes. As long as he plays the way, like, he's the most improved player last, as long as he plays the way he plays, he will take him as far as they go and not disappear in the playoffs. The Knicks will definitely have a decent playoff. They might get out of the first round depending on where they play. So they go as far as he goes. So as long as he shows up and do his job, everybody else will follow. That's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about Atlanta this year, considering the Knicks?
Atlanta's going to be back in the playoffs. After, you know, last year, you know, they took the lead by storm. You know, they started off with a bad record. And then, you know, they got Nate McMillan. He changed that culture and team around, got them to the playoffs. True, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, which I didn't expect them to get there because I thought Philly was going to beat them. I thought it was going to be the Bucks Bucks and the Sixers, but you know, Philly choked and they should have beat them in five games. But you know, the Hawks, they got heart, they fight hard, they got some good players and pieces. They can shoot the ball, they play defense, they got rim protecting. They'll definitely be back in the playoffs and making some noise for sure. Hawks are definitely a good team.
Yeah, I can agree with that for sure. I mean, Atlanta, I think people aren't gonna like this, and I'm just gonna be honest here, because I mean, again, like I always say, honesty does not get me in a lot of good places.
I said, where is he going with this?
But Atlanta, if they match up with the Knicks again, I think they'll lose.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
And the reason why I said, I mean, Trae Young, I get it. He's got the best of him for sure. I mean, last year, the entire year, even the regular season, he always got the best of him. But I think this year is going to be different for the Knicks. And I think that because again, they can rest guys. They can rest certain guys that they play. Like, for example, you have Emmanuel Quickley, Alec Burks, Obi Toppin, Taj Gibson, and I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they still have some injured players, too, that they're waiting to come back. I mean, this team has a lot of depth, and maybe they look for a trade, too. I mean, if Dame's not playing well, maybe they can get him on the market. I don't know. But I think this team is going to be very different from what it was last year, especially since, to be honest with you, they're not going to run straight through Julius Randle anymore. And I say that because, look, last year, Julius Randle had the biggest percentage of ISO plays. That I think that was the reason why they lost that entire series, because they tried to play through him. I get it. Play through your star. But you have so many other weapons. You can't just play through a power forward. He can't do it all. It's not like a Jokic. It's not a Jokic situation where he can control the entire court. It's not like that. Julius Randle has great passing ability. He's got a good mid-range jumper. He can create his own shots. That's great. But he's not a star. And I think the reason why I see the Knicks beating them is simply because of the team around him. And I look at Trae Young, right? I look at his team. And we have pretty much, again, a lot of depth. I'll give it to him. You have Cam Reddish, who I think is really like – a demon. Like he really is a demon. You just gotta give him time. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was a great pickup. DeAndre Hunter, who could play some amazing defense. John Collins, Clint Capella, Danilo Gallinari, Lou Williams. But that's really it. I mean, those are a lot of guys I just mentioned. I mean, eight guys that can really come off the bench and give you a spark. But I think the Knicks are hungry and they need a win.
So you're sticking by the Knicks are going to beat the Hawks if they match up again.
I think so.
If they match up again, honestly, I think it would definitely go to a seven game series for sure. But for some reason, Trae Young me trust. In closeout game on the line, I believe Trae Young is going to come through and pull that win out if it goes seven.
Yeah, I mean, again, Trae Young is the villain of New York, and that's for a certain reason. But at the end of the day, I think the Knicks are finally going to get it done. They need their revenge, and I think this is going to be, honestly, a series for a while, for a very long time.
I mean, look, this has still got a long, long season ahead of us. See how the seeds come out and match up, you know, on April, and next time the playoffs are April, May, whatever the time the playoff period is. So we'll figure out who matches with who in the first round, and that's a conversation that we got to have later on down the year.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Now, moving on to the NFL Week 8 recap. Can I talk about what a week this was? A wild week. A lot of surprises. I was shocked. Man, like I said, you can lose to anybody on any given Sunday. Never sleep on any opponent in the NFL. Those guys are in the league for a reason. And honestly, we're about to get straight to it. I'm going to tell you, talk about a day of the backup quarterbacks, week 8.
Yeah.
Jets being the Bengals, 34-31, with Mike White throwing for 405 yards and 3 TDs. Man, talk about what a game that was. Wow.
Michael White, man. The Mikes. Michael Carter and Michael White, man.
I was like, I'm thinking Jets and Bengals. I'm like, come on, man. Bengals, they've been balling out. They just destroyed the Ravens the week before. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, Jets and Bama, ain't no way. And then I look up, I see the Jets had the lead. I said, what is going on here? Like, what happened? Like it's crazy thing because the Bengals was up, I think, by like 11 with like 8 minutes left. And I'm like, okay, the Bengals got the game in control. The next thing you know, the Jets come down and scored. And then they got to stop. Can't not score again on the 2-point. I said, bro, I know you're not about to lose. And they end up beating them. I said, wow. I said, what a game.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets having 17 points in the fourth quarter. The Bengals, oh, my God. I mean, they just had a big win against the Ravens, and now you come out and lose to the Jets like this. I mean, hey. He came out and played yesterday. He balled out. I mean, he had 405 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I mean, yeah, you can't, quarterback throws 400 yards, 3 TDs. Not much we can really. You just gotta win. You gotta win a game. You know it's hard to lose a game when you quarterback throws for that many yards and 3 TDs, especially against a good Bengals team. They're one of the better teams in the AFC. So it was definitely an impressive one with that. So I get to tip my hat off to them, to the Jets. You know they came out, they executed, and they upset the Bengals. Now moving on, they're going to move on to Trevor Siemian beating Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's exactly the way you said it. And
I wouldn't say he beat him necessarily because I think he only threw one touchdown. But what I would say is the Saints defense carried that victory. I'll give him that. The Saints defense, yeah. They are crazy. Like it was pressuring Tom Brady, forcing him to throw picks, and I'm just like, man, I said it's like when Tom Brady plays the Saints, I don't know what happens, but he looks normal.
Well, I'll keep it simple. It's pretty much that. If you have no Antonio Brown, it's going to be a little more difficult for Tom Brady. Hey, we didn't see that against the Bears. But look, if you stop the run game with Leonard Fournette, they can't get going. Then on top of that, you stop Mike Evans. Now, this has Lattimore on Mike Evans, and then Antonio Brown's not in the mix, so you don't really have a slot receiver. You have Chris Godwin. So Chris Godwin, he had 140 yards and a touchdown.
Chris Godwin was balling.
So he was balling. But at the same time, they're not going to be able to go through the entire game with him. It's not the way football works. Look, on the ground, total yards in general, they had, 30, 26, 13, and 2. And that's 4 people, I just said. And if we add all that up, I got to do math real quick, and it's going to take a little while.
58. You said 30, 26.
And 13 and 2.
That's 81 yards.
That's 71 yards.
Oh, so 71 yards.
That's 71 yards rushing total. This Saints defense really knows how to stop the run, and they've always known how to. And I think Trevor Siemian being able to control the clock, he did a good job of that. Now, do I think Trevor Simeon's going to be the starter going forward? No. Taysom Hill's going to be back soon. Taysom Hill's going to take this
job. Well, he's starting next week until I think he's going to start until probably Taysom comes back, like you said.
Yeah, I think once Taysom comes back, I think – he's probably going to have the job. Just because simply, look, Taysom Hill last year, he knew his role, and they won games with Taysom when Breeze was out.
All right.
So I think Simeon's not going to have the job for long. Did he do an all right job? I think so, but nothing crazy again. He just a game manager pretty much. But they beat Tom Brady, so what can I say?
I mean, my takeaway from this game, the Saints, they got on the Bucs quick. It was like 23-7. I'm like, yo, what is going on? And Tom Brady came back, threw 2 TDs, got back in the game, and then the defense held him to a field goal. So I'm like, okay, there's no Bucs got a chance to win this game. And then what Tom Brady threw a pick. So I'm like, my takeaway from this game is if Tom Brady don't turn the ball over, he gives them a chance to win this game. They probably win this game. We probably wouldn't be having this conversation if he don't turn the ball over 3 times the way he did. So
yeah, Winston goes out, you should have had a chance to win this game right then and there.
Like I said, right now the Saints defense is going to carry – as long as the Saints defense keep playing the way they're playing, they will carry them along to the playoffs. That was an impressive win. But it's like I said, the Saints – right now they have Tom Brady's number in the regular season, but if they manage to begin the playoffs, we'll see what happens. And then the game that I want to talk about, as you guys know, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and going into this week, we didn't know if Dak was going to be playing or not. He was managing the situation, saying it's a game-time decision. And come to find out, come game time, They said he's inactive, so Cooper Rush got to start. Honestly, I didn't have any doubts because I'm like, he has the weapons and defense has been playing well. I said he just has to go and execute and they can win this game. I'm like, I know it's Minnesota. They have a high power offense. Got Kirk Cousins, got Dalvin, Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne, Tyler Conklin. You know, their offense is explosive. They put up points. But I'm like, as long as Cooper Rush can make some throws and just not turn the ball over, they can win this game. Honestly, it was a shaky start. You know, we only had 3 points going to the half. In the first half, we didn't really play too well. They scored a game-winning drive. I mean, game-winning drive. Opening touchdown, we missed a field goal. And then we had a turnover. They threw a pick early. It didn't look too well. But second half came, we held them to 6 points. And we outscored them 17-6 in the second half. Held them to 1 out of 13 on third down, which is like 7.7%. And you're not going to win too many games if you can't convert on third down. Like, 1 of 13 is horrible. He held down. I mean, he shut down their running game. I think Dalvin only had like 78 yards. Kirk Cousins had like 177 passing yards. So, honestly, I got to tip my hat off to the defense. They held their own. And I got to tip my hat off to Cooper Rush because he did make some throws, key in the stretch, and help us win that game.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the big way to stop this Vikings team is to stop Dalvin Cook. And it proved it right here. If you stop Dalvin Cook, you got a chance of winning football games and beating the Vikings. And I think the Vikings really need to win this game, but Kirk Cousins on prime time. I don't know what happens. I really don't. And I'm really disappointed in Kirk Cousins. But Cowboys, this defense looks for real, and I think Micah Parsons is going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's for sure.
Michael Parsons, that man was all over the field, had 10 tackles. He was all over the field causing havoc.
Yeah, I mean, he was the ninth pick of the draft. I think it might have been the biggest steal in the draft. This dude is so talented. He can get anywhere quick. He was stopping Dalvin Cook. Like, when you know you can – again, the announcers talked about it. I think Dalvin Cook got a screen, and Micah Parsons chased him down on the screen. That doesn't happen often. You don't stop Dalvin Cook on screens to the outside. That doesn't happen a lot. And if you're able to make plays on like that, this dude's going to be a nightmare eventually. So maybe by next year we're going to be talking about one of the best linebackers in the league for sure.
I said Michael Parsons, he's a heck of a player. Honestly, coming into the draft, he wasn't really our initial pick. We was looking for a corner, either J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain, so that's why we had traded our pick. So I know he was a good player at Penn State, but I was like, okay, so we're taking Michael Parsons. But first 7 games of the season, he's been, you know, playing, holding his own, getting sacks, causing pressure, stuff like that. He just has a knack for the ball, you know, smirk and read the plays and can run sideline to sideline. So he's been playing well. Randy Gregory has definitely been playing well, so. But yeah, you know, like I said, pretty sure a lot of people had their doubts, you know, saying, oh, that's not going to play, they're definitely not going to win. But like I said, Cooper Rush made some plays, and honestly, the biggest play of the game was 3rd and 11, and they checked down to Zeke, and he got the first down. That was the biggest play of the game. I'm just like, if Zeke don't make that play, they're going to overtime, and who knows, we probably lose the game, and we have probably having a different conversation. But he got the first down, and then next play, Amari Cooper. Game with a touchdown, 1-on-1. It was a great win, you know, without Dak. It showed how much that they improved last year, you know, because, you know, Cowboys usually in close games, they usually find some way to choke. But the fact that they're winning, they're getting in close games and winning shows how much they're growing, and they're definitely one of the better teams in the NFC as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, Zeke making that play was huge. This dude is like – he didn't have a great night. I mean, 16 carries, 50 yards, averaged 3 yards a carry.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, he made the play when it mattered. That was the biggest play of the game, and it pretty much won you the game. I mean, even to give credit, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, they balled out. I mean,
no, CeeDee Lamb. Definitely did.
I think CeeDee Lamb might be one of the most underrated receivers. The way he gets separation so quickly, I mean, that helped Cooper Rush a lot. Getting right. That much separation and not having to make the perfect throw. I mean, that's huge. And Amari Cooper, we know what Amari Cooper can do. He's one of the most talented receivers in the league. Probably, besides Davante Adams, he might be the best route runner in the league. So
them two are definitely the best two route runners I've seen in the league.
Yes. Yeah. So this dude, this team is talented. And once Dak gets back, which might be next week, this team's gonna be scary.
I'm gonna say Dak's back next week. Supposed to be getting hopefully Michael Gallup come back next week. So, and even look, people sleep, but like Cedric Wilson is really a good player. Like he, like people don't really appreciate for what he does. Like Cedric Wilson, actually, he's a good player. He made some clutch catches this year with even the Patriots game on that 4th and 4 when the game was on the line. He made a great catch to save that game, and he made a pass to CD Lamb, which was on the money. Like Cedric Wilson is definitely a good versatile utility player. So, like I said, we miss some pieces right now. Still got guys hurt, but this Cowboys team is going to be really scary when they get fully healthy. And we play the Broncos come Sunday, and I'm confident we should be 7-1 going into Monday.
I can agree with that.
7-1 going to Monday. Now, moving on to last night's game, the Chiefs and the Giants. What a close game that was. Like I said, this game, I felt like Patrick Mahomes was going to get his, bounce back, after taking a crushing loss to Tennessee, 27-3. I'm thinking he's going to get his swagger back, put a 300 yards, 3 TDs, and just be killing the Giants. But this game was a lot closer than I expected. I give tip my hat to the Giants. They hung in the game. They had chances to win. But at the end, Chiefs defense stepped up when needed, and they escaped Arrowheads with them, with a win.
There is so much to be said about this game.
And, here you go.
And, I knew Tuesday was going to be a very interesting day because I lost in fantasy. And Tyreek Hill, he got his 12 receptions. That's great for him. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get the yards. He didn't get the touchdowns. And the Chiefs just continue to have problems in the red zone.
He threw a pick the first drive of the game.
He then, Travis Kelce then fumbles. Patrick Mahomes, what is going on? What is actually going on? Because I saw it last night. Mahomes did all right. I'll say it. Mahomes did all right. Did he make some stupid decisions? Of course. But every single person on the team made stupid decisions. And the Chiefs defense finally got it together and bailed them out. The Giants, listen, they put up a fight. Did I ever think they would win this game? No. If Saquon Barkley was here, do I think they would win this game? I think they would have won it. And I don't even think it would have been close. There's nothing scary about the Chiefs anymore. If you saw the way they played the Chiefs, they're beatable. They played back. They played very back. No deep ball. That's how you beat Patrick Mahomes. And as much as we can all say, oh, Patrick, all he has to do is go slowly down the field. We all know that Patrick Mahomes is itching for a deep shot. And it's gonna come sooner or later. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to work slow in slow ways. And I don't know how they're going to do this to be able to get to the playoffs and beat a team like Green Bay. I mean, Matt LaFleur, he's a great coach. And Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the field. Not Dan Jones. Aaron Rodgers is on the other side of the field. And he proved last week it doesn't matter if Devontae Adams is back. I'm still going to be Aaron Rodgers. And Patrick, I just want to talk to you real quick. Listen, man. I said on my podcast that I didn't want an interview with you. And I now realize that's a lie. Because I still want to know what goes through your head. I want to know what makes you decide to make some of the throws you make or force things that you don't need to force. Listen, there was a play last night that he got intentional grounding on. And I was very confused because why? The pocket was getting closed, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. You have a check down. Every time. And if anybody watched the game last night, Patrick Mahomes had a guaranteed check down every single time he played. The Giants just played back. That's all they did. And I think this is when they miss Clyde Edwards-Helaire because since they can't take the deep shots, they need a good running back. And Darrell Williams, he's okay, but he's not Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's not able to get through those small holes and be as elusive and shifty. And in the receiving game. This hurts the Chiefs. And Patrick needs to throw to his checkdowns almost every time. And as much as he doesn't want to be that quarterback, he has to be. Because he's so dangerous in the deep threat. Him and Tyreek Hill are so dangerous in the deep threat that they have to go to checkdowns.
I mean, and, look, it's been a down year for the Chiefs. Like, we, you know, had high expectations. They just went to back to the best Super Bowl. So people probably thought, you know, oh, the Chiefs are going to be a dynasty. They'll probably be back, come out the AFC. But the way they've been playing, they're, Patrick Mahomes has turned the ball way too much. That's one. Their defense is horrible. You know, they can't really stop nobody. I mean, they held the Giants to 17 points. That's, you know, you hold the team to 17 points, you have a chance to win a game. But man, like you're saying, Patrick Mahomes, he's forcing some of the passes. He wanted a deep shot. We know that's what you want to do. So I guess teams are, you know, starting to figure out, and he needs to adjust to how teams are playing him, read coverages better, and not force stuff down the field. Like people, the safeties are going to play back because Tyreek Hill can burn you any time of the game. So you got to watch where you're at all times. So you have to, you know, take your checkdowns and throw the medium routes and throw, you know, the simple throws, but, you know, he tries to be fancy, you know, doing the sidearms and all these other passes and teams are catching on to him, which is why the Chiefs are struggling. They're having, you know, this inconsistent year that they're having now. So are they going to make the playoffs? I mean, I don't know. That AFC West is, you know, it's kind of tough. You know, the Raiders playing well, and even though the Chargers lost, they're still going to be in the mix. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to be in another playoff race right now. I mean, still plenty of football left, but they're going to have a shot. They're going to need to get hot, like, now. Start building a winning streak now to give us a chance to even make the playoffs.
The issue is they're facing so many tough teams, and their schedule is just about to get tougher and tougher and tougher. Like I said, they play Green Bay this week, and it's just, I mean, they're at home again. Yeah. They're facing Daniel Jones last week and only won by 3 points, and now they're facing Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Listen, man, you got to step up. And if Devontae comes back this week, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Sorry for you.
If Devontae Adams comes back, even Lazaro comes back, I mean, I think I'm gonna roll with Aaron Rodgers for this week. But yes, yeah, I don't know. We will, you know, keep watching the Chiefs and see how they go along down the line. But what I really want to get into is the big injury news, man. Jameis Winston is out for the year. It's ACL and MCL, and Derrick Henry is supposed to be out 6 to 10 weeks with a foot fracture, so he's going to miss some time. And honestly, I mean, Jameis, before he got hurt, he was playing well in the game. You know, Trevor Siemian held it down, but Jameis is definitely going to be missed. But Derrick Henry, you talk about playing, game planning for a guy. Derrick Henry is the reason why you game plan for the Titans. Like, when you think of the Titans, you think of how we're going to stop Derrick Henry, how you going to stop the run, make Tannehill beat us. So now that he's missing, even though they still managed to beat the Colts in overtime, which was a crazy game, heck of a game. Moving forward, how is it going to affect them? I mean, they signed Adrian Peterson. I mean, it was not too bad, but he's not no Derrick Henry. He's not what Adrian Peterson is, not what he used to be, even though he's still a running back, you know, all the confidence that he had. I mean, now teams are not going to be scared of the Titans anymore, now that Derrick Henry is gone. So this is really – now it's really going to be up to Tannehill to see if he can really ball out.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the biggest question. But the thing for me is they don't have a tough schedule coming up. I mean, they face maybe two really good teams.
They play the Rams next week.
They play New Orleans, and
that's two tough games. Right
there. That's two tough games, and the Pats. But I mean, look at the schedule. They have to face Texans twice again. They face the Jags. They face the Steelers, San Francisco, and Miami. I still think they'll be fine enough to make the playoffs without him. And again, they'll probably have him for maybe the Miami game. This team's gonna be fine without Derrick Henry. You still have AJ Brown. I mean, Julio Jones. He'll probably rush back real quick. Do I think he'll be fully healthy? Of course not, because he never is fully healthy.
I mean, I feel like he'll come back. It depends. I mean, one, it depends on how quick he recovers. I mean, 6 to 10 weeks, that's close to playoff time. So as long as they make the playoffs and, I guess, sort of kind of make a run, he might come back.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think it would be 8 weeks. I mean, 6 to 10, I think 10 is a lot and 6 is too little. I think 8 weeks is a good, like,
Well, week 9 is on Thursday, so you saying, like, the last game of the season, maybe?
I think the last game of the season of the playoffs. Right before the playoffs, I think he'll be back. I think probably January 2nd against the Dolphins, I think he'll be back. And I think they don't need to rush him back because, listen, I think it's becoming an issue that this man is getting way too many carries. I get it. He's the focal point of your team. But he has 219 carries already. I mean, you're working this dude like he's a dog. Like you can't do that. Let's think about it last year. I mean, last year he had 378 carries.
Over 2,000 yards.
And that's true. But we're at 219 carries, and we're only halfway through the year. So, I mean, this injury, listen, the way he plays, it was bound to come. The guy's human, you know. He can't just not get hurt in situations like this. I was very impressed for the way he's playing. I mean, the dude's 6'4", long legs, hasn't even gotten the leg injury. That's impressive to me alone. So, yeah, I mean, do I think he'll be fine when he's come back? Yeah. I just think with this injury, the Titans are really going to use him wisely and really know when to use his play action because 28 carries a game.
I mean, the way he was playing, look, we was talking about him possibly rushing for another 2,000 yards, the way he was going, sure.
Yeah, I mean, he had a chance to break the record in general. So, I mean, hey, I'll give it up to him. I'll give him props. But at the end of the day, like, if you want to last in this league, you're 27 years old. Running backs don't last that long. And if he wants to have longevity, he can't be getting this many carries. He can't.
Yeah, they're going to have to, you know, cut some of them carries in half, try to reduce his workload. If he do, you know, like I said, he gets 20 to 30 carries a game. So they're going to have to try to, you know, cut down on some of it. And, you know, hopefully that works out for their game plan. But now it comes down to can Tannehill's, you know, win them some games and they, you know, the running game going to be a question to see what they can do. Adrian Peterson and Rick Nichols. You know, just gonna watch Tennessee moving forward. They're currently, I think, 5-2, and you know, they're one of the better teams in the AFC. So it's gonna be interesting to see what they can do without their star running back. But now we're about to be in week 9, and honestly, I think my last week my podcast, I was talking about MVP candidates. And I think my top three, I said was Rodgers since he moved up and beat Kyler. I said Brady and I said Henry. Now, with Henry being gone and Tom Brady just lost to the Saints having a bad game, this MVP is up for grabs right now.
Yeah, I mean, these injuries really suck, man. It really does. But, I mean, if I really had to pick my three candidates, I think Kyler's going to play this week just because I know Kyler. Like, he's not missing a game against a division rival. It's just not going to happen. I think they should rest him. I think it'll be a better decision. But I can't take Kyler Murray out the mix. Just, I mean, he was undefeated for 6 weeks. So, I'm going to still put him at number one.
Okay.
Number two, I'm still going to put Lamar Jackson. I mean, he had a bad loss, but again, he's doing everything. He is literally rushing the ball and passing. He's high in both lists. And it's just crazy the way he's playing. And he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks to me. So for me, I have him at two. Three, I'm going to go with your pick. I have Aaron Rodgers. That win against the Cardinals really told the story of where we put Aaron Rodgers for the MVP list. And, I mean, he's a bad man. He's a bad man. And now they're at 7-1. I think they're at the top of the NFC in general.
I mean, yeah, with them and the Cardinals and the Rams, they all 7-1. So
I mean, that's my list right now. But I mean, just for stats-wise, that's why I have Lamar a little over him and Kyler over him.
I mean, honestly, with my list, it's hard, you know, because Henry was one of my top three candidates until now he's hurt, so he's basically dropping the list. Aaron Rodgers definitely on that list after beating the Cardinals without his top three receivers. I don't know. Somehow, some way, they are literally undefeated when Devontae Adams is going to play. How they figure it out, I don't know. But I take my hat off to the coaching staff and Matt LaFleur for, you know, having executing game plans for when Devontae Adams is going to play. So I think, like I said, I have to put Aaron Rodgers ahead of Kyler just because he beat him without his receivers. I mean, I know Tom Brady had a bad game, just had a bad loss, but you still got to put Brady in the race. He's still playing at a high level. And then a third pick.
Oh, my God. Wait, I'm so sorry. I'm going to take Lamar Jackson out. I'm going to put Josh Allen at two. I'm so sorry.
Josh Allen, I mean, this week he – Josh Allen, he's been playing well, but this week he was a little shaky this week. You know, they did beat Miami. But, honestly, my third pick, I think Dak will be back in the mix once he plays this past, come next week. So, I think I'm going to say Dak Prescott for now. My quarterback has been playing well, so I'm gonna stick with those three.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of candidates. I forgot about Matt Stafford, too.
Yeah, Matt Stafford blowing out his mind.
Maybe I might put him at two. I think, honestly, who I think should be Offensive Player of the Year, I think Cooper Kupp might be a candidate soon.
I mean, look, Cooper Kupp has been balling. Like, I think he has over 1,000 yards ready now, if I'm not mistaken, or if not close to it.
He's got 924 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I said, look, Cooper Kupp, he's definitely one of the most underrated receivers in the league. I always knew he was good, you know. But people don't understand how good he really is until you literally watch him, watch the Rams play, and it's like every play he's open. It's like he's always open every time I look up. It's like people forget that he's on the field. Like you have to account for him because he can get open and he's good at space. So Cooper Kupp is definitely playing like the best receiver in the league right now. So the way he's going, I mean, he can easily put up about at least 1,600, 1,700 yards the way he's playing.
Yeah, I mean, he might break the what's the touchdown record?
I forgot. I can't have to look that up.
Damn. Check right now for you. Let me see. In season. 23 touchdowns.
He has 10 through 8 games. I mean,
that's maybe, the game.
If Stafford keeps feeding the ball, he keeps scoring. It's fine. He's on pace. He can possibly break it, you know.
And they play the Titans this week.
So. He keeps playing, and yeah, Titans secondary is not all that either. So, Cooper, I expect Cooper Kupp to have a big game. He's been, like I said, having a big game about every week. So, he's just been consistent this whole year, and it's good for me because I have my fantasy team. So, it's good for me, and I'm still undefeated. Fantasy 7-0. But you know, my team, I'm undefeated. You know, my team is pretty solid. But yeah,
I wish Cooper, I was you.
The cut down to fantasy, man, it's all about – it's all kind of luck. Cause, like, you don't know who's going to come and show up each and every week, and you never know. Like, you just – your opponent player just might play better than your player that week, and he wins. So, fantasy, you can lose to anybody. You know, it's all about who shows up and who puts up the numbers. So, I've just been fortunate to have a great team and stay undefeated, even though this week I only won by, like, 13 points. So, I was in a tight one this week. So, but – yeah, it's just this NFL season. I mean, if you're looking at the playoff picture right now, all the division winners, I think, for the NFC, like I said, it's going to be the Cowboys, the Bucks. Man, the NFC West is going to be tough between the Rams and Cardinals. I don't know who's going in that division. Green Bay, who's going in the division? Cardinals or Rams? That's tough. They both good teams. Who's going to win the NFC West? I think I'm gonna have to go with the Rams. Now that they just added Von Miller, I think the Rams are gonna win that division. So that's my four NFC division winners. Then you have the AFC. It's gonna be. I think the Raiders might win that division. Raiders, Tennessee. AFC North. It's going between the Bengals and the Ravens. Bengals and Ravens. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think they might win a division. And then, who am I missing? Oh, and the Bills going to the division. That's going to be the division winners, I'm predicting.
Conferences. I'm going to agree with that, too.
It's like I said, the Bengals and Ravens is going to be a tight race. I think the Raiders and Chargers, I think it's going to be a tight race, too. And even the Rams and Cardinals are going to be a tight race. So, we got some tight race. If the Saints keep playing how they're playing, they might be a tight race to be with the Bucks and win a division, too. So, this playoffs is going to be real interesting, honestly. It's going to be, it's like, this year is, like, wide open. Anybody can take it, you know, like, favorites, you know, because teams on both conferences are playing well. So, and anybody take the Super Bowl this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it really could be anybody's game, especially in the NFC. I mean, we got so many contenders. Gosh. Rams, Cowboys, Bucks. There's so many Cardinals here. There's so many teams. I mean, Seattle winning this week. I mean, Russell Wilson comes back in week 10 after the bye this week. They might have a chance to come back and really do something. So I think the defense is going to get it together, and they might have a chance too. So, and Packers as well. Sorry, so many teams.
Man, NFC is going to be like I said. I like my Cowboys chances, but we have a tough road. We're going to have a tough road in the NFC. We're going to have a tough road, especially it depends on what our record be and who we play. But I lost, like, you know, division when you get a home game. So it's going to be tough. But I like our chances. I think Cowboys can play with any team in the league. They've been holding up their own. So I feel like we match up against Tampa again, a fully healthy team. I think actually we will beat Tampa, to be honest. We should have beat them week one.
I think you'll lose to the Rams, though.
Ooh, honestly.
But them having Von Miller now, I just think it's going to be too much.
Honestly, I mean, but honestly, we have one of the best. I mean, I'm not saying we can't beat the Rams. I feel like we can beat the Rams. You know, we have one of the best O-line of football, run game, got receivers. We have the, like I said, we can play with any team in the league as long as they execute. We have, you know, Dak stay healthy, keep playing the way he's playing. Cowboys going to go as far as he goes. And so, you know, and their chemistry is high. You know, they just answered all the bells, you know, this week without Dak Prescott. So it shows how much they can do and how scary they can be once they get everybody back. So it's going to be, like I said, the NFL season is going to be fun to watch for sure. Fun for sure.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything else you want to say before we recap off?
Bulls in 4.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. He ain't no trolling. Come on now.
I just want to thank you for having me on the show. And, you know, appreciate it. You can also find Ty on my show too, on the Sports Mindset. We got that on TikTok and Spotify, so check it out.
Yeah, you know, check a little bit of own podcast, the Sports Mindset, and where they can follow you up.
You can find me on TikTok at the Sports Mindset, same thing, and Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to find me.
Yeah, make sure you check him out. He puts out some good content as well, talking about fantasy and prediction and stuff like that. So we're gonna show out each and every week, you know, even though he put AJ Green to show out. Well,
but yeah, you gotta change
AJ Green, but anyway, you know. Yeah, but this is basically the end of the show. Appreciate Khalil for having on.
Of course.
And we will definitely be back. I have another episode coming out soon, so just stay tuned and have your post notifications on.